Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I want to talk to you tonight about the truth. The truth. Brother Reginald, would you pray and ask the Lord to bless the word tonight? I'd like to read this verse one more time, and I'd like for you to notice very carefully. Thank you. The wording here. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Mental illness is a malady which frequently destroys an individual's ability to distinguish between the real and the unreal. Yet the more I look into the perfect law of liberty, which, according to James 1, is a mirror, the more I realize that most people are confused about reality. To illustrate this, let us use the common mirror. When you stand before a mirror and you see the reflection of yourself, the image that you see is an exact reproduction of the real. Yet the question that I pose tonight is, which one is the real? Now, this is not difficult tonight, and we're not going to get into anything deep as though we could. But I want you to think with me very carefully. Who is that in the mirror? And where is that person? When you feel for the image that you see in a mirror, the mirror stops your hand from reaching that image. Oh, the mystery of the mirror. No wonder Lewis was so inspired to write his stories. For the looking glass has intrigued men from its inception. There is a plane. It is flat. There is nothing conceivably beyond the surface of that mirror. Yet you can stand there and swear that that image is just as far back of the surface of the mirror as you are in front of it. Now, if someone shoots you, you die. But if someone shoots your image, they only break the mirror. The bullet never really reaches you. For on its way to you, it is intercepted by the surface of the mirror, and technically, it never reaches the image because the image is at the same distance in the minus as you are in the plus. So the body can die, but the image cannot. Therefore, the image represents the greater existence. I wish I had a great big mirror tonight. Could this be what Jesus meant when he said, "Fear not him who is able to destroy the body, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell"? Was Jesus not looking at the body and at the image? You see, I believe that our body consists, or I should say our life, consists of two parts. One is earthly, and the other is eternal. And the greater part of our existence is eternal. Modern man has walked into a room of mirrors, forgetting which one he is. He might can scratch his head, but he doesn't know which body to shoot. He will shoot this body, trying to get rid of the problems, when the greater existence is represented by the image that he sees in the mirror. And he can't shoot that one because Jesus said man cannot destroy the soul, only the body. I'm not suggesting that if we want to somehow help our eternal self, we should neglect the body. I don't mean to suggest that. It's just that I feel we need to get the right perspective. We need to understand that our life consists of the earthly and of the eternal, and the greater part of that existence is the eternal. You see, God who counts those things that be not as though they were, God who sees the end from the beginning, looks down and he sees my life. He sees Bob Gilstrap, and he sees a few short years in this world. He sees all of it, whether 43, 53, 63, 73, 83, 93. That's all he sees. No, that's not all he sees. He sees only that tiny part in the earthly. But the rest of what I am, like a great ellipsis, he sees Bob Gilstrap extending into eternity. In fact, it's an ellipsis that is open-ended. I began in this world. The end of the ellipsis is my life. But the two lines that extend into eternity, that's me, and I will live forever and ever and ever and ever somewhere. Therefore, when we look into a mirror, let us remember the mystery of the mirror. Where is that person? You don't even have to be philosophical. You don't have to even be spiritual to enjoy the mirror and its mystery. For when you see your image, where is that image really? I don't know how that happens. You say it's a reflection, yet you can see depth. You can back off from that mirror, and as far back as you can get, that's how far that image will back up in that mirror. Yet you can be in a room that's only 3 feet wide And there, somewhere back in there, is that image. Paul said we see through a glass darkly. We stand before a mirror. We know that there is something beyond. We can see some of our image. We can see some of our existence, but we cannot understand it. But saints and friends, tonight, we are an eternal entity. This is just a small part of our existence. We are going to exist forever and ever and ever and ever. Then why should not we live for that greater part of our existence? Why do we live for just this small part? Oh, that we could really see things as they really are. For example, John on the Isle of Patmos. People feel sorry for John. There John was exiled on that little lonely isle in the Aegean Sea. But let me ask you, who was really exiled? It was Domitian, the Roman emperor, who was exiled. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah! Don't feel sorry for John. Feel sorry for the Roman emperor. You say, oh, but he was all alone. Was he? Who was really alone? Surrounded by the multitude of his realm, Domitian was alone in his sin. John, alone on the Isle of Patmos, was surrounded by a multitude. He said, Brother Deans, no man can even number that multitude. The sterile stones on which he walked were undoubtedly hot. But wait a minute. He said, I saw the streets of that city transparent gold. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, young people, you've got to look at this thing correctly or you'll never live for God. If all you can see is a Trans Am, and all you can see is a date and a little fun in this world, you're not going to last very long. You're not going to be happy. You're going to be exiled on a lonely isle. But oh, the loneliness that you dread and you fear by not dating sinners and by living for God at school and by loving Jesus with all your heart will transform into presence, happiness, joy, for you will be surrounded by a multitude of heavenly hosts. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. We don't have time, but if we had time, we could go on and on. What about the limited diet out there on the Isle of Patmos? I doubt if he had much to eat, but wait a minute. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And all of a sudden, he saw a huge banquet table. And he got to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb in his vision. Praise God. What about the water he needed? Yet he was surrounded by water. Yet he saw the river of life. The fruitless isle. Yet he saw the tree of life. John was exiled by a king that he could get a vision of the King of Kings. Let me ask you something. World, who are you feeling sorry for? Who's crazy? People say we are crazy. You know, they refer to Paul and Silas as the ones who turned the world upside down. Wait a minute, that's all backwards. The world was upside down and they turned it right side up. The world says we are crazy. We are not the crazy ones. They are the crazy ones for not loving Jesus and knowing Jesus and serving Jesus. And the rich man and Lazarus. Who was the rich man and who was the beggar? It was the rich man in eternity who was begging for a little bit of water. It was the beggar who was the rich man in eternity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one time I heard a little story that illustrates what I'm trying to talk about right now, the inversion of things. There was a man being buried. And this man was very, 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 very wealthy. He had everything that he could hope for. And when he died, his request was that he be buried in his Cadillac. And his moving courier. No, this fellow was a different color, I think. And so this fellow said, when I die, I want you to bury my Cadillac. And so when they buried him, there he was. He was sitting at his Cadillac, grotesque as it may seem. He was sitting there gripping the wheel of his Cadillac, and they had him propped up there. And as the crane lowered him and his Cadillac into that huge grave, there was a little boy sitting there watching all of this, and he was overwhelmed. Great, big, shiny Cadillac, and that fellow being lowered down into that grave. And he said, "Man, that's what I call living." That's the world for you. That's the world. Dead in trespasses and sin. But the devil says, "Boy, that's really living. Oh, yeah, it's really living. Walking around and dead all the time." I tell you what's really living. That's loving Jesus. Enjoying righteousness. Walking with the Lord, having a clean life, coming to church and living happily ever after. That's really living. Not going out there where the world is and doing the things that they're doing. Let me ask you, what is truth? Romans 3:4 says, "Let God be true, and let every man be a liar." I like that. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now notice our text. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. Did you hear that? Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. He's not down here in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the holy places made with hands, because these things are the figures of the true. What's the true? But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, if that is the true, what's the false? Where we are living right now. You say, wait a minute, can we call the tabernacle, the temple, the church? Can we call where we're worshiping the building? Can we call all of this false? Jesus said an interesting thing. He said, except you hate your mother and your father, you cannot love me and you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of people have stumbled over that. They've said, that's terrible. God is love, and He teaches love, and He says, yet we've got to hate our mom and daddy. But that's not that difficult to understand. And neither is it that difficult to understand that this is the false. It's that God is so true. He is so true. He's not the epitome of truth. He is truth. He is so true that we are false. And you've got to love God so much that your affection for your loved ones is like hate. For He said, as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above your ways and your thoughts. So God represents the end, yet there is no ending of truth, and we represent the other end of that line, which has to be false. Now I know that we're enjoying something real and something true, but really that's the only thing true that we have is Jesus. Your houses are false. Your cars are false. This carpet's false. The organ is false. The building is false. You are false. But the church is true. And He is truth. You see, our life is but a vapor, It's nothing. It's a dream. Where is reality? It is on the other side of that glass through which we see darkly. Well, what is this then? When you look into that mirror, you think this is really it, but that's not true. This is just a little filmy, shadowy substance that the Bible calls a vapor. It's going to pass away. It's going to perish. But on the other side is that eternal part of us that's going to live forever and ever and ever. Therefore, that is the true, and this is the false. That's the real. This is the unreal. It's as though we're in a dream right now. And what we are doing is just a part of a dream. Yet you're held accountable for everything that you do in this body. But compared to the real, my friend, this is unreal. So when the devil tells you, enjoy the real, say, man, I'm enjoying the real. For Jesus is the real. He is the truth. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have God in you. You have truth in you. You have the part of reality. In fact, the only part of reality that you can really have and stand. False part of our existence. That's something that is so earthly. And we need to be more involved with the eternal. We need to think about our soul. We need to think about that something of us that will live forever and ever and ever. For this body is going to pass away. And therefore, the trials and the temptations. Paul said, for our light affliction, which are but for a moment. You see, compared to eternity, this is a moment. Compared to the true, this is false. Compared to the real, this is unreal. Now you say, Brother Gilstrap, how in the world can I apply that to where I'm living? What can I do? How can I make it? How does this come out? How can I apply this to where I am living every day? You see, the trials that we suffer, the things that we go through, sometimes we feel that they are the biggest thing in the whole world. We feel that we cannot stand it. We cannot bear anymore. But just remember, Brother Deeds, it's a dream. It's a little vapor. It's a little moment. It's a little something that doesn't last very long. It's not that real. In fact, compared to God, it's unreal. It's not going to last that long. There is not one thing that we go through that's going to be that bad if we'll just hang on for a little while. And one of these days, we're going to look back on all of this from the eternal side. We're going to look back at the earthly side, and we're going to laugh. In fact, we're probably going to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And we're not going to cry. I started to say we're going to cry. We won't be crying any. But we'll just laugh. You know why? We'll see ourselves down there going to Brother Deeds. Brother Deeds, I just can't stand any longer. I'm just ready to throw up my hands, Brother Deeds. I can't stand it. Brother Deeds, I've just gone as far as I can go. Brother Deeds, I don't know. Brother Deeds, I don't know. I just may have to commit suicide, Brother Deeds. I can't stand it, Brother Deeds. And we're going to look back and we're going to laugh. And we're going to look up Brother Deeds and he's going to laugh. And we're all going to laugh. Praise God. It's going to be so funny when we look back and we see eternity. And we look back and we see just a few little moments. Just a few little moments. But you see, from this side, it's hard. It's lonely until you get in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then, like John, you don't see the rocks. You see the golden streets. You don't get bitter at the King. You see the King of Kings. You don't feel sorry for yourself. You don't just see the water out there. You see the river of life. You don't see the fruitless plain of that lonely isle. You see the fruitful boughs of the tree of life, bearing all sorts of fruits 12 months out of the year. You don't look around and see that you're having to be all alone while everybody else is having a lot of fun, and they've got dates, and they've got friends, and they've got fellowship, and they've got people to be with in the evenings, and you're all alone. But you look around, and you see a multitude that no person can number, and you are comforted. And what does it mean? Well, living here, you live there. With your feet in this world, your heart and your head and your spirit and your soul is in another world. That was Abraham. Abraham walked around. And every time he walked up to anybody in a town, he wasn't looking to settle there. He was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was always looking over everybody's shoulder when he talked to him. He was always looking to the next town. He was always looking beyond. He wasn't just looking at the problems and the needs here. Oh, God, help us to look beyond the problems of this life. To look beyond the heartaches and the trials and the funerals and the sickness and the automobiles and the houses and the clothes and the acclaim of men. Let's look beyond and let's see what it's really all about. Let's look into the mirror and see the greater image. Let people come in and shoot. In fact, they can shoot, try to shoot that image, and they just break the mirror for a little while. They try to shoot this image or this person, and they might knock them down. They might kill them. But they can't get rid of them. Because we are a part of the eternal. We are living forever and ever and ever and ever somewhere. Can you love the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, so often, we do not like to accept what we find in the Word. We don't like to look into the perfect law of liberty and see what we see. Having eyes to see, we see not. It reminds me of the old man living way back out in the country, and he had never seen a mirror before. I don't know if I've ever told you this or not. But one day, going to town, he went to town about once a month. And the little town wasn't much of a town. He had never seen a mirror. On the road to town, someone had dropped a mirror and it had shattered, and he stopped, seeing something shiny, and picked up a large piece, and he said, "Well, I'll be. Don't know how it got here, but there is a picture of my dear old daddy." Well, it so happened that he looked just like his daddy, and he really thought he found a picture of his daddy. He tucked it away in the wagon, and when he got home at late at night, he slipped it under the feather tick, the mattress youngins. And so when everybody would be busy in another part of the house across the dog run, how many know what a dog run is? And so he'd slip in there and pull that old feather tick up, and he'd pull the picture of his dear old daddy out, and he'd cry, and he'd look at his daddy, and he'd think about all the old times. His wife got to missing him after supper. She hid one evening and peeked through the knot hole and saw him in there looking at something. She said, "Uh-huh." So she caught him going to the field the next day, and she slipped in there and raised that old feather tick and pulled that mirror out. She said, "Uh-huh, so that's the old hussy he's been interested in." How many times do we look into the perfect law of liberty? We see ourselves. But we feel like we have really seen the picture of somebody else. The Holy Spirit will show you yourself in a service, in a sermon, in a private devotion as you look into the perfect law of liberty. In fact, James told us about this, and again in the first chapter, he said, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and goeth away and remembers what he looks like, he is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of that work, and he shall be blessed in his deed. But if you look and you forget, you're like a man, he said, beholding his face, and his natural face in a glass or a mirror. He looks and he goes away and he forgets what he looked like. How many times do we see ourselves? The Lord shows us ourselves in the mirror of His Word. This is a mirror, folks. But we refuse to accept that image. Yet that is the true image. A friend can come up and say, oh, you're the greatest person. I just love to be around you. And they could be lying all the time. Your mama is not the best mirror that you can find. I used to get so aggravated at my little old fat mama. She's gone on to glory 7 or 8 years ago. But I used to get so aggravated at her, and she had embarrassed me so much. I took piano lessons and started playing the piano a little bit. Mama would get in the crowd and she'd say, would y'all like to hear Bobby play? You want Bobby to play? Bobby, come here. Play piano for him. Oh, I'd get so aggravated. I'd try to hide. Mama, be quiet. I don't want to hear your son play the piano. And even if they did, they don't want to hear him play when Mama requests it. Let somebody else request it. But she was so proud of her Bobby. I remember one time at General Conference, I was playing the piano. Brother Parkey and his sister, Georgianelle, were singing. And Brother Parkey was playing his accordion. And at a general conference, it's very, 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 very difficult to hear. Henry knows what I'm talking about. With the piano and the organ way over to the side and the people standing way out here. Sometimes they'll have little speakers to where you can hear. But sometimes it's fixed to where it's very difficult to hear. Well, during the song, Brother Parkey modulated. He changed keys. And Bobby didn't change keys. He didn't hear him change keys. And there I was, Georgianelle and Brother Parkey, playing and singing that song in one key, you know, just getting down in another key. You know what Mama said? She did. She really did. That's why I'm sitting over there if you want to go. Reginald didn't see me put that over there a while ago. I put it over there and he thought I hadn't got a drink yet, and so he put it back over here. I was afraid I'd spill it. Praise God. And so Mama said, Bobby, what made W.C. get off that song right in the middle of it? And I said, Mama, no, it wasn't W.C. It was Bobby. I didn't hear him change keys. Your mama is not your best mirror. Sometimes your wife is not your best mirror. Sometimes your husband is not your best mirror. Go to the Word. Let your pastor with the anointed Word show you where you are. And God will reveal you. You can hide that image from everybody else, but if you will be honest enough to walk up to that mirror, as ugly as it may be, it will show you exactly what you look like. Exactly. I used to stop combing my hair in front of a mirror that had a fluorescent light. I never did like a fluorescent light in front of a mirror. I used to hate to, and I still do, to go in to try on a suit and stand there in those three-way mirrors under that fluorescent light looking at us. I'll look at my hair, my chin, and my nose, and the parts that should be up and out and in, and I'll be looking there and forget to look at the suit. You say you're vain. No, embarrassed. I just get to thinking, you know what? I forget how really bad I look until I look in the three-way mirror and see myself the way other people see me. I used to comb my hair in the dark. Almost. I'm serious. I just leave a little light on in the other room and get in there, and it was much easier to comb my hair. That's why people don't like to go to church. When they go to church, God turns His spotlight on. He puts His mirror there. You see how ugly. You see all of the motives. You see all of the ugly things that are there. But you can go out in an old dirty. That's why every ungodly honky-tonk is dark. They don't light those places up. They're dark because their deeds are evil. They like to get in there where it's dark, and they want the spirit to be dark. They want everything dark in there because they look pretty good in the dark. But you bring those roaches out into the God's light, and all the filth and the ugliness. That's why they run when you turn the light on. That's why at work when you start to witness, it's just like turning the light on one at a time. They don't like that light. But this is a signal to us. When we feel like running, when God's light is turned on and we see ourselves in the mirror, that's when we need to say, "Oh God, help me. Create within me a clean heart, O Lord. Oh God, the bones which Thou hast broken, Lord, let them mend back. Help me, God. Oh, save me. Wash me." That's what we need to be, what God wants us to be. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So tonight, He is the true. He is the true. Let me tell you something. And I'm not going to be able to preach all of this tonight. But when you find something in the Word, and I think it's all right for me to tell you this instead of your pastor. When you find something in the Word that you don't understand, number one, instead of getting some wild doctrine and feeling like that you've gotten some great revelation, first of all, check it out with your pastor. Check it out with the man of God. See if it violates any other scripture. But the main thing, even if you, before you check it out with Brother D, when you read something in the Word and you feel that something is not right, or either God's given you a great revelation, whatever that you don't understand, just remember, let God be true and every man a liar. Don't ever feel that there's a mistake here. Don't ever feel that the preachers have gotten together and agreed upon something, and it's not scriptural, and it's not the Word. Let God be true, and every man a liar. And I'm going to say something that might shatter a little bit. And I believe in the United Pentecostal Church. I believe in organization. I have a card, and I'm happy about it, and I want to keep my card. It means something. But on the other hand, let St. Louis and the organization say something that is different from this Word, and let God be true and every man alive. Right. Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached, let him be accursed. Let God be true and every man a liar. Whenever you find something that you don't think is right, God's right. He's always right. He is always right. He is always right. He is truth. If there's any inconsistency, it is on our part, not God. We are false compared to Him. He is so true. We are unreal compared to Him. He is so real. We are hate compared to Him because He is so love.
spectrum.
No wonder he had to beautify the meek with salvation. We were so ugly.
He is beauty. He's love. He's truth. He's righteousness.
We are ugly.
We are false. We are untrue.
Unreal. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, then spake Jesus again unto them, and I'm trying to wrap this up, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, now listen to this, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. I like that. Jesus said that's true as far as your standard of comparison. When anyone vouches for themselves, that is an indication often of something that's not right and not true and not valid. But he said, though I bear record of myself, my record is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. It's so ludicrous, funny, whenever a so-called atheist says, I don't believe in God. Prove to me there is a God. You don't have to prove there is a God. You don't have to prove that the Bible is true. Where does it say you have to prove all of that? You can't prove God is real. You can't prove the Bible is true. To anyone who does not want to believe and will not agree upon any basis of truth, which is God or the Bible, you have nothing. You have nothing to use. There's no standard. There's no criteria. There is nothing upon which to stand. There is no basis. The Bible, the truth, Jesus, that's where we start. You say, well, how do you know? You don't have to know except you believe.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. And when we believe, let God be true and every man a liar. Well, what about evolution? Let God be true and every man a liar. What about everything else? Let God be true and every man a liar. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the world cannot understand. They think that we are strange. But who's strange? They think that we are unreal. But who's real? What is real? No wonder Pilate said, what is truth? Modern man has walked into a room of mirrors, forgetting which one he is. Knowing enough to scratch his head, but not knowing enough to know which body to shoot. Do you know? Which one are you working on? Some people, I saw, passed a tavern, and Brother Henry, I passed a tavern and watched a man lock his car. And all of a sudden, just a great big old inconsistency loomed. I thought, now that really makes a lot of sense. What are you doing? Why are you locking that car? Because I want to protect my belongings. I want to protect something that's going to last a year, two or three. But where are you going? I'm locking my car to go into the tavern. I'll protect the physical property while I'll take my body and soul and mind and spirit and set it down in a den of evil spirits. Isn't that something? We are really interested, aren't we? Knock on somebody's door and they say, oh, I can't
Sunday's my rest day. I have to rest. I work very hard through the weekend. I have to rest on Sunday morning. But on the way to Sunday school, you see him jogging when it's 100 degrees. And in Kansas City, it's 100 degrees before Sunday school. They are so interested in preserving the physical. But the greater part of their existence, they leave it alone. Don't worry about that. You try to witness to them. Well, I get all confused about that. It's too way out there. I don't even like to talk about that. I don't even believe that mirror is there. I don't even believe in that image that I'm seeing. In fact, I don't even see it. This is all there is. That's all there is. This is it. What are we doing tonight? Are we taking care of the spiritual, of the eternal? I don't know why I feel burdened for young people tonight, but I do. Young people, I feel burdened for you tonight. The world is reaching for you so great. It's reaching for everybody. But it's such a facade. It's such a make-believe world. It's such an unreal world. It's so false. The only thing that's true is Jesus. Hang on to something that's true. If you're floating in a river, you don't tie to a log that is being moved upon by the same current carrying you to destruction. You reach either beyond the river to the shore or beyond the river to the bottom, to something that's not moving at the same speed. It's so ironic. The world wanting to do something about their condition, they reach out socially to logs floating, moved upon by the same current that's carrying them. And they lash them all together. And so instead of one person or instead of a bunch of people individually going over the waterfalls, they go together, lashed together. They go over, lashed together. That's sociology. That's psychology. They feel better about it, but they die. No, sir. Reach beyond the world of movement. Reach to the eternal. Get the tree of life. Get the ground below. Get something that's not moving. Something that is stationary, that is permanent. Jesus is talking to you tonight, young people, moms and dads, and all of us. It's so easy to get caught up with the cares of life, deceitfulness of riches. Get so concerned about making money, a living, education, furthering ourselves in all the legitimate ways. And these things are all right in their proper perspective, but let us keep the proper perspective. Let us look and remember that what we see is that that's eternal. In fact, come to think of it, have you ever really seen yourself? You say, I have in a mirror, but that's your image. That's the unreal part of you, or maybe the real part of you. You are the unreal. How much of yourself can you see? I've never seen my face, come to think of that. I've seen what a mirror has shown me. Is not that the greater part? Yes. Not contradicting what we've already said. But you see, so often we concern ourselves with that we have not really seen. We're in it. But that we see represents the eternal that we can't see. Forever and ever. And you know what? You can forget about all these things until you have to preach a funeral. Until you have to sit in the family section. Until you have to be there and you realize, wait a minute, it does extend farther than this, doesn't it? This room is not the dimension of my existence. There is a mirror on that side. What are the dimensions of the room anyway? And you start realizing that it goes beyond that wall. It goes beyond that gate called death. We begin to see a little farther. We wipe off the mirror. That's why it says it's better to go to a funeral than it is to a feast. Read Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. better to attend a funeral than a feast. Why? Because it says the living will lay it to his heart. You will look in the mirror. You will see beyond. You will realize there's something more to it than just what I have been living. As we stand tonight, and as we have a song, I feel like Brother Deese, is it all right if we give them an opportunity? I feel like that we need to come tonight and
the world
get a greater glimpse
will try
at what really is. Don't be preoccupied with the unreal and the false.
That longing is your soul.
Look at the real tonight, the true.
You may search the wide.
You say, I'm confused. I can't really see it. Come and look at it tonight.
But
come and ask Jesus to show it to you. He will show it to you.
Before
he will show you yourself. He will let you see beyond the looking glass. In fact, he will let you wander around in that area beyond the looking glass. In a dream, in a vision, in a thought. Where are you going? I'm headed for that land beyond the looking glass. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now we see through a glass darkly, but one of these days, face. We're going to walk up to that image, and the images will meet, and they will blend into one. But at that moment, we will walk right through.
Can satisfy your soul.
Right now, the surface of that mirror stops my hand. I see Mama over there, and I say, Mama! And when I do, the surface of the mirror stops me. Oh, one of these days, I'm going to come right to the mirror, Brother Dean. And I'm going to go right on through.
And make you whole.
Come on tonight and get ready to go through. You can. Come on tonight. Get a vision of the real.
You never knew love and joy. And heaven too.
Amen, amen.
For only Jesus,
with Jesus,
can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus.
How true the song is.
Can satisfy your soul.
Ecclesiastes 1:8 said, all the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is never full. All the world can pour into
can
your life.
Change your heart.
With whatever it has.
And offered. Make you whole.
And you're still left hungry. Dejected, depressed, lonely, fearful,
we'll give you
doubtful,
peace.
Sad, depressed. Just
you
say,
never knew love and joy and heaven too.
Praise God.
For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Praise God. We never know what the Lord is working out in a service like this. We need to be very sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. You could come to a service like that and miss a very sharp turn in life,
yet you
that your life would never be the same.
Christ,
I've seen it happen. We need to be sensitive and careful.
You're
praise
living
God.
Here. Would be in vain.
There'll like come, to come a and time pray. Come on.
When death shall call you, riches cannot help you then. So come to Jesus. For only He can satisfy. Only Jesus.
Praise God.
Can
care to pray. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Only
just dismiss yourself quietly. But there are a number here that wants to pray. Thank God. Thank God.
And make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your heart.
Praise God. There's a number that's nailed here tonight that's hungry for the Holy Spirit, and they need help and strength. Praise God. Let's pray with them.
Amen.
Can serve.